Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Vayera. And in Parshas Vayera, we know that Hashem does not want to conceal from Avram his game plan to destroy Sodom. And Avram is told that, the plan is to destroy Sodom, and Avram starts davening to save the people of Sodom. And the question we're going to ask this evening is why? Would it not be great if those people died?
Which they did.
Right, so Avram. What? Oh, so Jerome's already giving an answer that it's true that maybe Basher Husham, they were in a bad place, so they should die, technically speaking, as they were, but why not wait for them to do tshuva? Meaning we have
the
opportunity.
That wasn't what Avram was asking.
Oh, very sharp, very good. What was he really asking? He wasn't asking for.
No, engage.
All right.
He didn't say.
Now we're. So the Weintraub points out that Avram was not asking to save their Shem. Let's look at the Torah. Parashas Bereishis.
He was asking to save their Shem.
Oh, Bob, very good.
He was, but he's not saying they will do Tshuva.
So tonight's sugya is going to be: what is our approach to Rishayim? Like, do we want them to die? Do we not want them to die? Are we better off waiting, not waiting? Tshuva. Say it again. What was it? You looked ahead, Dr. Karp, or no. Yeah. Very good. Proud of you. Right. Plus two on the next one. So, Vayigash Avram, Vayomer Ha'af Tispet Tzadik Im Rasha. As Rabbi Weintraub just said, Avram said to Hashem, are you really going to destroy the innocent with the evil? I mean, he wasn't asking Hashem, how could you destroy the evil? That was never part of the question. The question was, do you mean to say, Hashem, that you're going to destroy the Rishayim and also, by doing so, include the Tzadikim? I mean, there must be some Tzadikim in stone. And now what the Chiddush there, Avram was saying, is that, and if there are 50 Tzadikim, save the Rishayim. Right? And then he goes down right to 40, right? And they count down, right? And the psukim continue as Avram's numbers dwindle, and the question there is twofold, I guess. Number one, so is Avram davening for the Rishayim to survive? Seemingly, yes, right? Meaning, so he's saying, if there are tzaddikim, you should spare the whole town. So I guess, who is he really, is he davening? What? No, that was not the plan. Very good. Maybe saying, yoni dachas. Jerome's pointing out we have built into the halacha of people who need to be obliterated. It's just.
But it's only by Yisrael.
Right.
Doesn't the Medrash say that Noach was punished because of?
Yeah, Zohar, very good. So we have a Kabbalist, Tanakh, Baki. This is good. There we go. Good. So, what's really Avram davening for? And seemingly what he's saying is if there are tzaddikim, they should be enough to save the tzaddikim. So before we go into the Zohar, as Adam started the process, so believe it or not, Baruch Hashem, today, this new Monday night thing is a little bit new for me, so I didn't have a chance to put all the Mar Makomos for the Shir on the sheet yet, but Moshe Feinstein, in his Drash Moshe, asked this question. He said, what was he davening for? Meaning, he's davening for people, the Anshei Sodom, who are Milchamu Neged HaEmes V'Neged HaChesed. They are the antithesis to Avram. He's davening seemingly for the enemy. Imagine the man who represents the kindness and, Midas Sodom is the opposite of Chesed, right? So what's he davening? Oh, very good. Yeah, say it again. Yeah, so therefore what?
So he's not necessarily davening. He's davening for the tzaddikim should be caught up in this.
Right, so that's the punishment. Right, so meaning, but Avram not seemingly davening Hashem, please somehow allow the 50 tzaddikim to escape. He's saying on the account of the 50, save the whole place. Right, so Jerome's saying, really, Avram would be satisfied if just the 50 tzaddikim were spared?
No.
Well, Jerome, that's what you're saying, though, right? Right, But right.
Means
oh, you're right. Below Sisa Lamakum Lamaanach my Hamisham Tzadikim should be kirba. Meaning, because of the 50, the whole place should be saved. But Jerome's asking logically, Avram is basically saying it would be against the justice of God to have innocent people die. So therefore, right. So, AB is right in terms of
it would be against the midah of Hashem to destroy a place that produced or that.
Okay. Now, AB, you're a step ahead of the game because logically, I would have said like Jerome, as long as the innocent survive, Hashem is just. But
now,
here is
now it's a just. It's still a just place if it can produce.
Okay. So check this out. So Moshe Feinstein in his drasha, Avram says like this. He says, well, maybe from 50 all the way down to 10, imishbem yachziru es harishoim lemutav. So he is asking to save everybody, because as long as there is a nucleus of tzaddikim, they have the potential to spread the kedusha and have a positive influence on the rishoim. Ki ma'at or yidche harbe menachoshech. Wow. A little bit of light will certainly outweigh a lot of darkness, as we know. And even clearly right now, the Rishayim are gaining the influence and they're not being influenced by the Tzaddikim. But Avram was saying, but if you save the Tzaddikim, give it time. The Tzaddikim will spread their light. When it comes to life, Goyim, they care. They don't want to die. So therefore, we don't want to, the Torah is sensitive to life, certainly, everyone's life. And therefore, why not, as Jerome suggested when I first put out the question, why not give them the opportunity to do tshuva? And specifically, in light of the fact that there are tzaddikim, the tzaddikim can propel that process. So that's Ramosha's beautiful drasha. And certainly it is a wonderful drush. When he's, I don't know which word, if it was his own words or he's echoing words, but it sounds very Chabad, where you have very Hasidish, where a little bit of light can push away a lot of darkness. I don't know if Ramosh is quoting anyone, in that school of thought, but it certainly reminds me. You're right. I don't think he's quoting. I don't know. Bottom line is, it's a concept that we're rather familiar with. A little bit of light goes a long way, and the Chabad is very fond of saying things along those lines. Okay, fine. So that's a beautiful drasha, and you have a drasha for Shabbos. Beautiful. Nice. But this is really a halacha. The Zohar actually says, in this context, Parsha Vayera, Amar Rebbe, mitzvah lo la'adam lispalel al rishoyim. It's a mitzvah dam for rishoyim. Dam for rishoyim? Yeah, really? Hashem, there should be a lot of rishoyim in the world. No, right. Don't take the light out of context. Kedei, in order, sheyachzeru lemutav. Meaning we have a mitzvah not to want Rishayim to perish in their evil ways, but we have a mitzvah to daven, says Rebbe in the Zohar, v'lo yichasnu legehenim, v'lo yikansu legehenim. We actually want them to do tshuva. Okay, but let's say, let's be real here. Let's be real, right? There's sort of a Rishayim who are worth saving. There's sort of a Rishayim that the world would be better without. And then the next line in the Zohar is even more intense. V'amar Rebbe, same, author. Asr lo la'adam lispalel al Rishayim shistalku min olam. It is forbidden to pray that Hashem remove the Rishayim from the world. Why? Isn't that a very appropriate thing to ask Hashem for? What would have happened if Hashem would have taken Terach out of the world? Would that have been a good idea or a bad idea? In the short term, that's a very logical thing to do. Terach's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Let's get him out of here. Well, if that would have happened, Lo Avram Avinu Olam, Vishifte Yisrael, Chagadja, right? There never would have been Avram, never would have been Jews. It never would have been Melech David, never would have been Melech Mashiach. Lo Avram Avinu. Hello, are you both? It never would have been the whole journey of Jewish history. Ooh, that's a good question.
And if you know, because it's Tzaddiki almost all of them. We never differentiate between.
Well, in this context, it's seemingly even non-Jews. Well, Terach was a non-Jew, and the point is that good could come out of them. Good could come out of them. So seemingly that would apply to both Jew and non-Jew alike, right? And we have many Makoros like this. Remember, again, the point is to think long-term, down the line. So I would imagine that that would apply to goyim as well, because you know, down the line, you never know. Yeah, maybe so.
One thing about doing a avodah zarah.
Yeah. Okay.
For a guy to be obed avodah zarah is not vicious, but for terach, for the doros that came out of Shem to do a avodah zarah, the zohar seems to imply that.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Because they should have known better. They knew better. And for them to be sent to a avodah zarah is probably vicious.
So maybe it's still limited to Jews or the guy
to do a avodah zarah is not a vicious.
That's interesting. So this is a Zohar. Now, when it comes to Zohar, you have to know how to learn Zohar. But you know what's interesting is that the Kaf HaChaim, so the great Sephardi poet, brings the Zohar down to Halacha in Or HaChaim. He just quotes it verbatim. And he just quotes it. That's it. So what that would seemingly mean is that this is a Halacha on the books. Don't daven for Rishayim to die. Our job is to daven for Rishayim to do tshuva. So let's think about that. Let's try to internalize that. Meaning, we know that there's got to be a line to cross, right? I mean, what would be weird to dive in for who to do tshuva? What would be over the line? Oh, right. So that's a very good example. Mamish, an enemy of the Jews, right? Let's say to dive in for the success of Iranian, you know, nuclear power, right? That is not, we hope, that is not a good idea, right? Meaning, you know, we don't want to daven for Rishayim to be successful in their rishus. We want them to do tshuva, and sometimes tshuva is just not on the cards for people, right? Meaning it's seemingly just so off. So maybe it's only limited to Jews, maybe it's only limited to Umas Olim that are Shayach. It's an interesting question. So let's learn a few examples in Shas, some more famous than others. But as Dr. Carr predicted, the Pasuk in Tehillim, which is at the end of what famous paragraph in Tehillim? Yeah, good. You have that from. Maybe when I'm your age, I'll know things. Yeah. So David HaMelech says, and sure, by the way, whole sefer to Tehillim essentially is David asking for the bad guys to lose and the good guys to win. It's really the whole sefer. If you look at sefer Tehillim, you learn it as a sefer. It's Hashem, please save me from the bad guys. Kill the bad guys. That's really what the whole sefer is. And therefore, this pasuk is in line very much with the rest of sefer Tehillim. Where David says, Yitamu. Now, Yitamu is not a euphemism. They should, what? Die. They should be ended. The Chataim min ha'aret u'sha'im ode'enam. There is no sugarcoating. The wicked should not be anymore. there's nothing smarty kafachaim about that. Right? There's a litvisher pasuk, right? And when the dead die, David HaMelech sponsors a kiddush, right? Baruch Inafshe Hashem. Hallelujah, right? It's the, you know, David HaMelech sponsor Kiddush Shabbos in honor of the bad people dying, right? That would be a nice Kiddush. That's the Sudas of Yassam, seemingly. So, fish and a Kiddush. All right, so here, so that is a Pasuk, and Gemara Brachos Yudim and Aleph, there's a famous story, famous, not because it's necessarily famous because I know it, so anyway, so to make myself feel better, that the Briyuni, there are these thugs, and Mesechus Brachos Yudim and Aleph, they were living in the same neighborhood as every mayor, and they were bothering Reb Meir. So Reb Meir got picked on. I don't know what that means exactly. And Reb Meir davened. What did he daven? That they should die, right? He had a good paradigm. He had a good role model for David HaMelech, right? So Reb Meir is davening. Hashem killed him. And who speaks up? Yeah, you guys are good. Amrele Bruya debases. So Bruya, his wife, says, "My daitach." Oh, you know Pasuk in Tehillim. Yitamu chatoyim, right? You're gonna quote me the Pasuk in Tehillim of Baruch Inafshi. Miksiv chotim? Does it say sinners? Chataim ksiv. Now, hold on. Let's be a little more lumdish than Bruya. What else does the pasuk say? So Bruya is darshaning the beginning of the pasuk. It doesn't say that the sinners should be abolished. It says that the sins should be abolished. So you're going to
interpret Rishayim as doing Resha?
Very good. So that's what she says. Vod Shapil Sebe the Gresha. It's an explicit one. V'rishoyim od enam. It says now the wicked should not be there anymore. Now, how could she get around this one? Kevan di tamu chataim. Once the sins die, v'rishoyim od enam. So wait. So once these guys, meaning they're always going to be more rishoyim, obviously. Meaning, what does David HaMelech mean when he says, Rishayim od einam, meaning even once these guys do tshuva, right, as Jerome's saying, there's still going to be other Rishayim. Ela boy ra'achame eluye de lahadra b'tshuva v'rishayim od einam, meaning killing, asking them to die won't accomplish anything, because let's say they die. Rishayim od einam, nice, lamdan, right, Beria, right? So, all right, so let's say these chataim are abolished, but there's still going to be other Rishayim, so she's reading as a kasha, so therefore the goal needs to be get rid of the sins, not the sinners. And once you get rid of the sins, then you will have accomplished something because you have eliminated Rishayim. Then Rishayim Od Einam. So, Bai Rach Me'eluy V'Hadru Tshuva. Taka, that's what happened. He asked Hashem for them to do Tshuva, and they did Tshuva. Wow. Now, last year we did give a shiur on whether or not you can daven for the spirituality of another person because they have free will. So, all the while they have free will, you know, how is that image to let the buzz them in? So that is a fascinating, there's a button there to press quick. Okay, so again, Beria corrected Rabbi Meir and said, don't daven for them to die, they won't accomplish anything. You kill a few Rishayim, there'll be more Rishayim. If you really want...
There won't be Rishayim anymore.
If they do tshuva.
If the sins of them, they're not Rishayim.
Exactly, right. That's exactly what she's saying, right. Right, because if you kill the... If you kill the Rishayim, if you kill them... Right.
Exactly. That's
what she's saying. So there it is. So Beria is influencing Rabbi Meir that it's better to daven for the sins to go away than the sinners. So here's another Makor black on white, which the Kaf HaChaim himself said after quoting the Zohar. He says, well, look at the Gemara Maseches Brachos Yom Aleph. Okay, and this is what he's referring to. We have a Makor in Shas where Rabbi Meir daven not for the Rishayim to die, but for the Rishayim to do tshuva. Now, this story is very telling. There's seemingly we're talking about Jews, no? The Reune? I don't know. I just assume some of the Jews, because they should do tshuva, right? I don't know. It would be funny to say they're talking about goyim. No, it's just the whole sense of the Gemara is every time about Jews.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, right. Meaning we're davening for the goyim to do tshuva.
Right.
The concept of doing tshuva would imply that we're talking about Jewish thugs. And here's another Gemara, Maseches Tainis. So fast, I did not know, even though I've learned this Gemara before, I never would have put this together. I have to thank, there was a Hebrew article online from Rav Yehoshua Pfeffer. Who is Rav Yehoshua Pfeffer? He wrote the Sefer Yishei Yisrael, Chaim Kanievsky?
Yeah, I think so.
Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Yishei Yisrael was authored by this rabbi?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so
Pfeffer, I think it was.
Right, so, you know, one of the biggest ways to be a marvelous story is if you Google things in Hebrew. One of the biggest rabbinic advantages I have. I told myself how to type in Hebrew. Once you type in Hebrew, you expose yourself to the whole Dati Lumi world on the internet because they have so much Torah published. So when I look for, when I prepare shiurs, I'll Google it in English, I'll Google it in Hebrew. So, you know, either, oh, you might have an article or, you know, whatever, and you listen to a shiur on my Torah, whatever it is. But if you find Geshmak like Yeshiva Torah from the Dati Lumi world, so you get a lot. So there's a Sha'al as a, what this din.org.il. So, you know, again, this website and this sugi, they happen to have had a lot of makoros from Rav Yehoshua Pfeffer. So we hope he is doing well. So apparently he's the author of Yishei Yisrael. And we thank him for writing that sefer as well. All right, out of here, double check.
No,
he's not convinced. Okay, we have to double check this one. We're going to the books on this one. And the survey says?
No,
Avram Yishai Pfeffer?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, maybe they're related. Okay, you know, maybe they're, you know. We hope all Pfeffers are doing well. All right, so what does this Gemara say? Abba Chilkia, he was the grandson of Choni Ma'agel. So what do they have going for them in that family? They were very talented
longevity?
At what? What?
Longevity, circles?
Yeah, circles. Circles and getting rain. So whenever the world needed rain, they would send a group of rabbis to them to ask Hashem to make it rain. Oh, and it worked. This was the Abba Chilkiah's talent. And one time, Taka, the world needed rain. So a delegation was sent of Rabbanan, to go ask Abba Chilkiah to daven for them so it would rain. So Abba Chilkiah knew they were coming, and he said to his wife, listen, I know what's going to happen. The rabbis are coming now to ask us to daven for it to rain. So let's go to the roof now. We'll ask Hashem for it to rain. And maybe when Hashem listens, you know what will happen? The rabbis won't attribute the good to us. They were trying to be modest. They didn't want to take the credit. So they went up to the roof, Rabbi Chilkia, Abba Chilkia, and his wife, and they were in two separate corners of the roof, and it started raining. And the Rabbanan, and where did it start raining from? Which corner? The Abba Chilkia or his wife's corner? Right, yeah, that's no brainer. the wife's corner. The wife's corner. And when the rabbis came, they said, "We know it was you. They didn't fall for it." And the only question they had was, I don't understand, why did the rain start falling from the sky corresponding to the wives' corner? Why was it not falling from the Abba Chilkia corner? And Abba Chilkia had an answer. He said he had two answers, but the second answer is pertinent to our sugya. He said, listen, there's these biryuni, there are these bums in the neighborhood. I daven that they should die, but my wife davens that they should do tshuva. So Hashem is more pleased with my wife's prayer than with my prayer. Now, hold on. Let's try to read between the lines. Was he saying, and then from then on, he was going to now change gears to daven like his wife, right? A little bit of a funny response, right? He said, well, I daven for the Hashem to die. She davens for them to do tshuva. And what about like the next time they daven? Dare I say, it doesn't sound like he's on the path to change. Like, you know, it's almost like someone's admitting, like, yeah, she's better than me, but, like, I'm still pretty convinced that I'm right. And it's a very funny response, right, if you think about it for, like, a second. I wonder what he means by that. However, this is another great makor to point out that there is an advantage not to daven for Hashem to die, but rather to daven for Hashem to do tshuva. That's great. Okay, now what makor do we have that would completely go against the Zohar and everything we've been learning this evening, where it's explicit that we should daven for Hashem to die every day? We daven Shmona Esrei and we daven v'lamal shenim. Oh, so let's try to figure this out. V'chol oivecha meheri karesu, v'hazeidim, wolf for sinners, meheri sa'akar, shabbos, ma'akar, they should get rocked, right? What? Throw the book at them. All right, now again, all of those different verbs, or, you know, you should do what to them, what to them, and what to them. Meher to Aker, with Shaber, with Magir, Vesachnia, the Meher. Now, you are right, Vesachnia has to do with tshuva. They should be humbled, but the other ones seem pretty pretty fatal. Saker, with Shaber, with Magir.
And this upstart is even more.
Yeah, what is this? Yeah, it sounds like we're... Is that pretty clear that we are davening for these guys to die?
For their wishes to stop.
Okay, now, if you want to be like Rameir's wife, you would probably have a different nusach. Because, again, now you're right. The Zaydim. We're not davening for the sins. We're davening for the sinners. The Zaydim. That's not a sin. That's a sinner. Mehera. Akir Shabir. Now, again, you could teach it.
But so it really is chatayim. Yitama chatayim, that's not referring to faith. She really is playing games there.
Right, Bruria was clearly trying to be Doresh Lesheva, meaning she knew that the Pashup shot of the Pasuk is not like her, and that's why she read it her way. So, you know, it's like the women have the sugi over here, that we have Bruria and Abba Chilkia's wife trying to teach us a lesson over here. And again, the Rambam brings down the halacha in the days of Rabbi Gamliel. So there were many apikorsin, and they would cause trouble to the Jews. And they would really do things to us that prevented us from doing good things. They would lead us astray off the proper path. So you know what happened? There was a tremendous need. So Rabbi Gamliel got up and made a bracha that, what? To kill them. Abed. Happy Corson, Vikeva Osa Bitfila Kadesha Tia. Alright, when I go. So it seems pretty clear from the Rambam that the goal of this bracha was to eradicate the bad guys, right? Like the Pashup tried to tell him. Shem, please kill the bad guys. No, it seems pretty clear.
When Mashiach comes, will we have 18 brachas in front
of us? Will we dominate at all when Mashiach comes? I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know. What will the world be like? I don't know. I wrote a chabur about that once when I was a Shana Aleph. There's a big machlokus whether or not the world will be bound by nature or not when Mashiach comes. Yeah, the Rambam is pretty harif about that. But he's against the Maharal. Maharal says that the world will return to the status as it was before the Chet of Adam Rishon. So that's interesting, Machlokas. What is interesting is that certain halachas seemingly will change when Mashiach comes, like which chagim, which sefer Torah. Only the korban toda will remain. I wonder what feel. That's a funny thing. Like, what are we going down for? You know, it's going to be a funny. So I guess based on who we passing, like, it will affect the tefillah, right? What? Right. Yeah. It's a funny thing. It's a funny thing. Right. Yeah. This is Chassam Sofer actually says the rabbis will go out of business because when Mashiach comes, all of the Jews will be Talmid HaChachamim. So he has a big drive, and the Chassam Sofer was like obsessed with spreading Torah and Chinuch. So he writes, I guess more than one place, about the need to convince people to convert. Because he says when Mashiach comes, the only people who you will be able to be Mashpia on are the Goyim. To convince them to convert. Something along those lines. Because the Jews aren't going to need Rebbeim anymore. The only work left for Mechanchim will be for the non-Jews. Generally, it's not our mission statement to be missionaries, but there is some literature about that in the Chassam Sofer. Yeah, he was such an interesting genius, the Chassam Sofer. It's very humbling to read Chassam Sofer. He was so brilliant. Okay, so we have a Rambam, and you know who asked this question? The Rambam, Rabbeinu Manoach. You know where the Rabbeinu Manoach is not? On the Bar Ilan Encyclopedia. So I couldn't copy and paste it on the Marma Comus. And I didn't have time to type it up. Believe me, I'll do that later. So the Rabbeinu Manoach, he asks, V'im Tomer, V'niskin Bracha D'lahadru B'tshuva. Hello, why would Rabbi Gamliel write this paragraph that Hashem should kill them? Don't we have a Mesorah, like Rabbi Meir's wife, that we should daven for them to do tshuva? So that, and it was a different Gemara also, that we never like people dying. It's not a thing. We don't like when people die. So Yesh Lomar, does anyone want to take a guess? Remember how the Rambam presented the halacha? What was going on historically at that time?
It was the Christians.
Oh, yeah, that's true also. Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah, but what was the nafkamina? Why was it an urgent need? It was urgent.
Because it was
Mabim Medadas. Oh, so says Rabbeinu Manoach, the Kavana HaBracha Hi Sheyikareisu Min HaOlam Bizman Sheyirtzu LaHatzer L'Israel. So when there's a victim, when they're trying to harm us, then, it says Rabbeinu Manoach, it would be appropriate to daven that they die. Ubashir mizmor nami, I mean, yevoshu vibahalu ade ad. So you're saying that the paragraph seemingly is referring to physical death. And therefore, so here's a fascinating raya from Tehillim. When do we daven? Again, we want the goyim to die. We want the goyim to die so they don't make Jews go off the derech. That's what you're saying.
What?
Oh, I meant spiritually. Yeah, so seemingly they would both apply, though. Meaning, again, the lashon was that what was going on at the time, that they were metzirin liyisrael. So metzar is physical, and mesisim osam lashuv me'acharishim is spiritual. I mean, you almost get the impression it was like the days of the Yavanim and the Hashmonaim, where there was physical oppression and spiritual oppression. But the point is that we were being victimized. There were casualties, whether they were physical casualties, spiritual casualties. So then it is appropriate to daven that they die. And he has a fascinating rhyme. What are we saying to Tehillim? Seemingly there's a lashon of death. And what is the next pasuk? Utsu etza v'sufar, meaning again, the idea being that what do we say? We specifically say the pasuk of utsu etza v'sufar, meaning when do we say yevoshu v'alu bizman shem misya'atim lahara liyisrael? Only when they're plotting. Only when there's an utsu etza v'sufar. Only in the context of them plotting against us. That is when we daven yevoshu vibalu adeat. Fascinating, right? Meaning he's saying that the only time we actually daven for Rishayim to die is when we are up against an evil plot. However, if there are just Rishayim who are doing their own thing in their own corner, so to speak, then it would not be appropriate to daven that they die. And I'm not sure what he's referring to his skin. I mean, which age of his sufar is the pasuk in Yeshayahu? I have to look. I thought it was also them. Again, I know we group them together after Aleinu, right? I mean, Al Tira and which age of his sufar. But apparently, he's saying that the whole context of Yevoshu Baal Me'ob is only in the context of Utsu Eitz of Sufar. So yeah, again, maybe I'm just wrong. It could be Yeshayahu. So I might have to look up the Tanakh to appreciate exactly what he's saying. But the Yesod is very clear from Rabbeinu Manoach. So let's try to conclude over here. So is it appropriate to daven for Rishayim? I mean, Avram Avinu, no, he was not davening for the success of the Rishon. That's not what the Zohar says. The Zohar said, they should do tshuva. They should do tshuva. So what was pshat with that they should do tshuva? Will we always want them to do tshuva? So yeah, the Zohar said, absolutely. We don't want Rishon to die. We prefer that they not die. We want them to do tshuva. Why? Because you never know what could come out of a Russia, even Terach. So what happened from him? Really good things, like all of the Jewish history and everything. So therefore, it's never appropriate to daven for them to die. And we brought sources from Shas, which say it's always preferable for them to do tshuva. Yet it's very, very clear that the paragraph of Lamal Shinim, you know, is a pasta, is a tefillah where we want them to die. And Rabbeinu Manoach says, in Achanami, there is a place for that in this religion. And that is when we are being oppressed. And I think it's a very logical thing, right? Remember, there needs to be some line, right? Before when I threw the question out. Like, what would be ridiculous to daven for? And Jerome said, well, it would be very weird to daven for a Nazi, right? Meaning, because they're the enemy, right? So in the same way, we daven for terrorists to do tshuva? No, we daven for them to die, right? So, you know, this is the reality. So, however, seemingly, there is an interesting line here where if there are harmless Rishayim, there's what to say about valuing life. And saying, listen, these are Rishayim, and they're not harming us, so therefore they shouldn't die. It's true. The only thing is, in this generation, everyone's connected, right? So sometimes in my own personal tefillahs, you know, especially when you see the negative influence of certain, we'll say, culture, high school kids, so I'm pretty harif. I don't have such mercy. The people who are producing things that will get into the Jewish culture, so we want that to stop, right? Meaning, in the same way that Terach ended up leading to a lot of good, so someone who's producing some, you know, form of entertainment, and it will be blasted around the world very quickly, it will end up affecting the Jews very, very, very badly, right? So in the same way that the early Christians or the Ivanim are having a very harmful effect on us spiritually, so you have to realize that v'chol oyvecha meheri kareisa, there are many different types of enemies of the Jews, so they don't always come in forms of knives and terror attacks, but people whose goal it is to produce disgusting things. Yeah, so you know, like what's
so you,
that?
So you pray for all the TikTokers and the Instagrammers to decease?
So, again, not all of them. I know I'm probably friendly with more than I realize. You know, Baruch Hashem, I don't have too much experience with this stuff. But that is a big part of what I think what we're talking about. When the Jews are a victim, so then there's no mercy. And I think in our generation, there's a new form of spiritual enemy and a new form of victim. And it looks very different in our generation. And absolutely, and I'll tell you a wild story. So, you know, there was a little early tonight, my father was once in a plane, like a plane story, and he was on the plane next to someone who worked for Comedy Central. Comedy Central, you may know, is a TV station. So they put out, without going into any details, they put a cartoon. Now, usually cartoons were intended for children. But this cartoon was very much not intended for children. It was like, let's say adult humor, inappropriate humor, whatever. But it was a cartoon. So guess who their audience was? All kids. Yeah, all the kids. I grew up and it made gazillions. So it happened to be that this woman was talking to my father, saying that they were a little bit upset at themselves at Comedy Central because they never intended that to be the audience. They were just trying to be funny. And it was created to do it via a cartoon. And I was walking to the back of the plane to go to the bathroom. And my dad said to me, "Hey, Yoni, did you ever hear this show?" You know, and I'm like, "Yeah, of course, I watch it all the time." And she's like, "See, you know, all of our audience is just kids, innocent Jewish kids." And then I quickly proceeded, you know, to the back to run away from that conversation. That, you know, that being said, it wasn't so bad the show, but ultimately the point is that when you see Jewish victims, it should enhance your tefillah. It's a big takeaway. So what's Avram davening for? Avram is davening because he was safe. You know, I guess he thought that there was still hope, right? So that's the other end of the spectrum.
Ninveh is the same thing. Yonah would have been happy if Ninveh was killed.
Right. It's like Avram versus Yonah.
But
Avram versus Yonah.
The Muslim is Christian, and that's how they look Jewish, half Jewish. So
yeah.
But they were.
Huh? They were Jewish, right? Very good.
And they were
good.
Working from the inside.
Yeah, it was very dangerous, right? There was real infiltration, real corruption. Yeah, so I think that's the line. I mean, you can't daven. You can't have if there's a victim, you gotta daven for that to stop. So then it's like in our generation, there's no more. You can't produce anything negative anymore that doesn't affect the Jewish community because the whole world is connected on social media or whatever it may be. You can't. There's no such thing as Stone anymore. You can't have like Las Vegas as an independent entity. Right? There's a huge Jewish community in Las Vegas. You know, there's a massive shuls in Las Vegas.
Nice Jewish community.
Yeah, man, and fine people. Not negative to them. Yeah, the point being is that there's no such thing anymore as like, you know, people who are just guilty inherently without affecting the world around them. It's not like a thing anymore. Like if Iran gets nuclear power, that's not okay. You know? Like, oh, just let them be Iran. Just like let them. Let them be evil and like, if I, whatever. No, like that can like ruin the world. So at this point, I think we need to be a little bit less than quote unquote liberal. You know, the point is that, you know, you need to be a little bit, I would say, cautious in this generation. Because a little bit of evil goes a long way in this generation. So I think in our generation, we need to hope, take the Rabbeinu Manoach on Rav Moshe ben Maimon as opposed to Avraham Avinu, a little bit more, I think, in our generation. I don't think you can daven for Stone anymore because of victims. That's my little high school Rebbe, modern-day rabbi spin on the sugya. Hope you enjoyed. Have a great night.